flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Looking ahead, though, John, the Super Bowl window as a concept, right? Lions had a chance last year in the NFC title, up 17 points. They had a chance this year as the one seed at home. Neither year results in a berth in the Super Bowl. Dan Campbell was asked about losing these coordinators and whether the Super Bowl window was still open. This is what he had to say.
He's right.
So what's your answer if I asked you?
Are they still in the Super Bowl window? 100%. Yes. Answer is yes.
How open is the window? Can you put a number of years on it?
I mean, I would, as everything stands right now, a minimum of 3 years going forward. I'm not just talking about the last two that we had saying, well, there's one more year because, and he mentioned it in regards to key players in pivotal roles across their roster. Your quarterback, he's locked up. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got locked up. Penei Sewell just got locked up. You know, Jameson Williams, the question for him, and we'll talk about this throughout, you know, as the offseason progresses, is he's going into his fourth year. Are you going to pick up that fifth year option? And if the answer is yes, okay, you got at least two more years with him. Tim Patrick. Okay. That's we've seen over the last couple of years, that's kind of an interchangeable piece and part. They'll find somebody that's going to be good there. I like Tim Patrick. Love to see him for maybe one more year, but he's had injury issues in his career. He's getting older. Defensively, you're going to be getting back Aiden Hutchinson, who they're probably going to extend this year, just like they did Penei Sewell last year. Aleem McNeil re-signed him. DJ Reader's got another year on his contract. Pascal is still locked up for, 2 years? You know, so, and then you look at the linebackers. I don't see Anzalone going anywhere. In fact, they just re-upped him last year. Jack Campbell, still young. Kirby Joseph, that's the guy that you're going to have to lock up, but I think that they will. Brian Branch, young. Tyrion Arnold, young. Like, Amik Robertson. If you look at losing Carlton Davis, you've got a guy that I think could step in there. Now you're going to have to get Tyrion Arnold to progress from year one to year two, which I think he will. But you've got a lot of really good players at all those positions.
I would put it in terms of like when a player signs a contract. I think it's a 2 year window with an option for more. I say 2 years because I don't know if Ragnow's here beyond 2 years.
Right.
In 2 years, all these contracts they signed really hit the books in an aggressive way and you'll feel a cap crunch. In the next 2 years, they'll have had to make decisions on Branch and Joseph, and maybe they can't keep both and can only keep one. Same with Sam Laporta in there, Jack Campbell, Alex Anzalone will be up in the next 2 years. In the NFL, we see about a 3 or 4 year time period with a group, and then parts have to be swapped out. Now, that's where I bring the option in. If Brad Holmes is putting more coal in the furnace and he's drafting more all pros in the second, third, and fourth round, well, then the window extends beyond 2 years. But as this group is constituted, I envision Taylor Decker is gone in the next 2 years, and Frank Ragnow is gone after 2 years. And this offensive line, which has been a strength, could look very different. Ideally, Giovanni Umanu and Christian Mahogany are starters and very good starters. I don't know. So I would tell you have 2 years as currently constituted. And if that seems too short, I would just stress to people, the window is always shorter than you realize. San Francisco 49ers thought this window was going to be much longer than it is, and they are facing some very real harsh realities now. I think 2 years is my number. I don't think it's one. I want to see how they swap these coordinators. I don't know that it's three, though, because I just don't know what the roster looks like as these contracts really start to set in.
You can manipulate contracts.
Yeah, you can.
And we've
kick money
seen
down
other
the road.
Teams, yeah. You know, kind of. And I know Gator likes to say that the salary cap is a myth. It's not a myth, but there are a lot of ways that you can be creative to continue to extend your window. And I mean, look at what the Rams have done. You know, and they had to make some harsh decisions. In fact, they had one guy that they thought they were going to have for a little bit longer in Aaron Donald, that just up and retired. And what did they do? They've drafted really good defensive linemen
and
impact
key
players. So that's why I believe right now I'm going to say a minimum of 3 years, because I don't think that Brad Holmes just all of a sudden forgets how to evaluate talent and forgets how to draft. You can replace some of this talent while you're getting the best years of Aleem McNeil, while you're getting the best years of Amon-Ra St. Brown and J-Mo. That's going to be one that's going to be a question. How do you replace that talent, and can you do it in the second, third, fourth rounds? Because let's face it, at 28th, okay, you get the fifth-year option, but the talent pool that you're drafting from is different than it is in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be fair. Kirby Joseph's a third-round pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a fourth-round pick. These guys,
Mahogany's a sixth-round pick.
And the first two are all pros, and Mahogany has some upside.
He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, I think he played very well. You just won't have access to the Penei Sewells and the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world, which are bedrocks, and you already drafted them. I say it's two. You guys tell us, 248-539-9797. And because we know tomorrow isn't promised, and because Dan Campbell himself has said they may have already had their best shot, I do want to see a more aggressive offseason. We know they inquired about Max Crosby this last season. He's starting to talk a little bit and starting to connect. I would be aggressively pursuing Max Crosby. Win the Super Bowl now, because it already feels like they've wasted two very good chances. What you don't want to do is swap out two coordinators, play a tougher schedule, fall short again next, and you're going, we're burning really good years right now. I think you got to be very careful operating under the idea that it's just going to go on forever. I think as great a job as Brad Holmes has done, do we really expect him to be drafting 3 and 4 all pros every year? I think a little bit of that is unicorny. I don't know that that's going to continue every single year in perpetuity.
Unicorny. I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't happen like this every year. Even his last draft. Did they draft 3 all pros in the last draft?
No, they didn't have as many bites at the apple.
Right. That's kind of where this is going, is what I'm saying.
But I also think, and I don't think anybody thinks that it's an endless window.
Right.
It's not going to go on forever. Yes, there are going to be years where you're going to have to take some hits, rebuild. How do you win games, enough games to get into the playoffs and have a shot at doing something in those years while you are waiting for your cap to reset and be able to spend some more money and, you know, keep some guys that you are drafting? And that's okay. It's somewhat a, you know, you have a lot of riches right now.
Yeah.
And how do you manage while you're rich, the, you know, where the money's going, how long you're going to extend guys? And can you tap into, very much like New England did in that, you know, 20-year run that they had under Belichick and Brady, the ability to go get some veteran guys that maybe haven't won a Super Bowl in their career, and they've made a bunch of money, and they're looking to, what I need is a ring. I need a legacy. I made a bunch of money. I want a chance to win it all. Detroit is one of those destinations where people will want to go when they're still productive to win a ring.
248-539-9797. Dan Campbell says the window is very much open, that they have their core, they're signed here, they're locked up, and he really cited the culture, the identity, and the fact that that is going to remain in place even without Ben Johnson, even without Aaron Glenn.
That stays here as long as Dan Campbell's here.
Yeah. And again, offensively, it feels like he sets the tone, collaborative, but he has set the tone offensively. He's been super involved since late 2021 when they moved on from Anthony Lynn. Defensively, we don't know what's going to happen there. But it feels like the defense should be better next year just because of the personnel that will be on the field instead of in the training room.
Right. And you're going to have a draft.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to add talent in that draft. You're going to have free agency. And I don't expect them to go all wild and crazy. I do think there is an interesting conversation to have about Max Crosby. And it's going to be, what are you willing to give up? What would Brad Holmes be willing to give up? Because you're going to be talking about first round picks.
Plural.
And what would the Raiders be looking for? Because the 28th pick this year and the, you know, hopefully the 32nd pick next year isn't quite that enticing. So, and they're kind of in that position where there's no path to a stud quarterback for them. There's no path to a quarterback.
Yeah, but you could throw Hendon Hooker in there too.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
I'm saying I want to
sweeten the deal. And so, but if you're creative and you're looking at an organization like the Raiders that need a path to a quarterback, what's their number one asset? Their number one asset's Max Crosby. How do they leverage him to eventually get to that path?
They're going to have a new coach. They're going to be starting over. Max Crosby has publicly talked about how much he admires what Detroit's doing, appreciates what the Lions have built, how everybody, including his former teammate Amik Robertson, has raved about Dan Campbell in this culture. I don't know that this window is 3 years and beyond. I think it's the next two. I think they should be aggressive in pursuing Max Crosby. I think to fall flat on their face the way they did on Saturday and the way that they blew it the year before in the NFC title game, I don't want to do this like, we'll get them one of these years. I want it to be we're getting them next year. I want, hey, we're chasing the Super Bowl with every ounce of energy that we have right in the offseason.
And you don't want to be just good enough to get in the playoffs.
No.
You want to be good enough to win it all. And you're looking at Pittsburgh going, okay, well, it's nice that they're always in the postseason, but what was it, 7 years, 6 years, 7 years since they've won an actual playoff game?
You don't want to get stuck.
You don't want to get stuck in that realm either.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to 97.1 The Ticket, Carson Anderson program. Taking your calls and texts, 248-539-9797. Some more texts coming in. Levi can go. He hasn't done anything of note to warrant keeping around. Just a body at this point. talking about Levi Enrique, didn't really flash this year enough for me to say I definitely want to bring him back. But, you know, if the guy can be brought back at a decent cost, obviously he knows what the Lions are trying to do and the Lions trust him, then so be it. But I certainly wouldn't be, you know, opening up the checkbook and saying, yes, please, come here, sign. I have to blame Goff first. The fumble and his interceptions. Sorry, fellas, but now I see why the Rams wanted to get rid of him. Really? How'd you feel last year when they beat the Rams? How'd you feel last year when they beat Tampa Bay? How are you feeling this year when they went 15-2 in the regular season, including a last game win over Minnesota with everything on the line? He had a bad game on Saturday night. No question about it. But I ain't giving up on that guy.
I'm going to give people this week, Gator, to let all their emotions out, and yeah, the sizzling hot takes, you know, and all that stuff. Because people are in pain, so I get it. So I'm just going to give them this week. But if you think it's easy to win 15 games in this league and do what Jared Goff did consistently throughout the season, yes, he had a couple bad games, but consistently he was great this year, you're in for a rude awakening. Teams are looking for quarterbacks every single day. Ask the Jets how easy it is to get a quarterback. Ask, you know, so many other teams how easy it is to get a quarterback that can win you that many games.
They were 35-9 in their last 44 regular season games. 35-9.
That's so impressive.
And they've gone 2-2 in the playoffs.
And that sucks. You know, I mean, we want the ultimate goal.
Each loss is brutal.
Yes. But you don't throw them out the door because of this last game.
Might be too late. F them picks was needed the last 2 years. What, do you think the window is shut? The window ain't shut. Your quarterback is signed. You got your running backs are in tow. You've got your wide receiver in tow. You've got your offensive line is ready to go.
You got key defensive players coming back.
Yeah, you've got seven guys who were, you know, you were counting on are coming back. I don't see how this window is anywhere close to shutting on this team. I think it's wide open, at least for the next 2 or 3 years. It might be longer than that. You know, they've got some signings they have to do. Some extensions they're going to have to offer up, and they will, and they'll still have money. They've been very smart about this whole thing and doing it as the salary cap continues to go up and up and up and up, which is why the league's going to go to 18-game schedule.
I can't believe they're going to 18 games.
Who knew?
They never saw this coming.
No, either. Who saw it? Then the commissioner says last week, oh, it's a logical step. No kidding, it was a logical step. Really? You like money, do you?
Like, it felt like they just thought of this.
Right.
Like, it's just logical, right?
Hey guys, I got an idea. What do you think of this? Based on how much money we're making hand over fist here with the league, what do you think if we went from 17-game regular season schedule to an 18-game regular season schedule? Think about how much more money we can make with an extra regular season game. Now, we'll cut back on a preseason game, but those don't really matter anyway. They're glorified practices, right? Were we all on the same page here? Yeah? Okay. The player's going to vote it in. You think they'll be cool with it? They'll get paid more money.
Yeah, we'll just give them raises.
Which is why injuries in the game are just so devastating. It's just it's survival of attrition is what it
You know,
comes
as the
down.
Players agree to this, which they will, they need to open up the active roster list. They need to put that in there. Like, hey, you guys want us to, you know, play another game? Then you need to, expand the rosters. Come on.
I'm with you on 100% on that. I don't know why you have this 53-man roster that drops to, you know, 48 or 47, whatever it is on game day. I don't know why it's not a 53-man roster the whole time. Let them all be active. It doesn't make any sense to me. Go back to the phones, and Dion is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Dion.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, man.
Good day. Hey, listen, Gator, this is my thing. After, you know, Saturday night I was disappointed. Sunday morning, my reality kicked in. You know, ever since when we reached that injury list at 19, 20 players, from that minute on, my whole thing was, okay, we're going to go as far as we're going to go, but eventually we're going to run up against a team that has just as much power in their offense as we do. We don't have the defense. Aaron Glenn has done a wonderful job trying to piece this defense together game after game when we reached that, 19, 20, 21 injured on the injury reserve list. From that minute on, I realized that it was just a matter of time. We're going to run up against a team that has a hell of an offense and also somebody that we have not played at all this year. And that's what happened on Saturday night.
Yeah, I hear you, Deion, and it's hard to disagree with you on that, and thanks for the call. Washington is very good offensively. They were good enough defensively on Saturday night. They've got some playmakers on the defense, and Mikey Sainristal is absolutely a playmaker. You know, I'm no fan of where he matriculated from, but I've said from moment one that that's a guy I'd love to have on my football team. He's a hell of a player. Just seemed to make play after play at Michigan, big play after big play, and it's what he's done in the NFL. He's made big plays, and he comes up with two huge interceptions in a game and, you know, blows up the JMO play that Jamison Williams just should have not thrown the ball. If he's going to throw it, just throw it out of bounds. I prefer he just take off and run if it's not there. But he didn't. He decided to throw it, and Sainer still made the play. And Jahmyr Gibbs couldn't get back in time to try to, you know, knock the ball away. It's just, it was a cluster. And they couldn't overcome it. They just couldn't do it. And I don't know, is this a hole in Brad Holmes' game that he hasn't been able to find another pass rusher? Yeah, they drafted Hutch, but I mean, how could they not? He had a second overall pick in that draft. He was right there. I suppose he could have taken Thibodeau if he wanted to, but and maybe Thibodeau would have been just fine because he's a good pass rusher, but Aiden Hutchinson is special. Outside of that, they haven't been able to find that guy through free agency or through trade or in the draft. They don't have another defensive end.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Brad Holmes has done an amazing job here. There's no doubt about that. But if you're going to start trying to, you know, pick at holes and things like that. Yeah, he hasn't found a pass rusher opposite Hutchinson. Does he at some point say F them picks, like the organization he came from, and just go out and get that stud, you know, rusher to go opposite Hutch? Or do you just try to find and draft and develop these guys? Because you and I believe the window has not closed, but also windows do get smaller at some point. Yep. And so I think it's fair to ask if the window's gotten a little bit smaller after this year. And do you go out and get, I'm not saying Max Crosby was available, but that type of player, go out there and say, you don't screw it, man. I owe it to this team. I owe it to Dan Campbell to get the best players possible right now to win right now.
Well, and the FM picks, it can come in the form of trying to get that established player like a Max Crosby right now, right? And that's going to cost probably a couple first round picks and then some, right?
Cost a ton.
It would be a heavy price, but that's why you do that type of move, because he's that type of impact player. Now, let's not forget, he got hurt at the end, before the end of the season, too. But that's a situation. The other way you do it with the F them picks is you move up in the draft to get that guy. If you identify who that player is, if you fall in love with Abdul Carter from Penn State, who unfortunately every mock draft has going like in the top five right now. But let's say that he hasn't been drafted. You know, he's lingering around 9 or 10 right now, and he hasn't been drafted yet. Would I be opposed if they went F them picks and moved up to get him? No. Absolutely. Identify your guy, whether it's an established player right now, a player you see in free agency, then you don't have to F them picks. You just hand over cash. Or is it somebody you see in the draft that you have to get? Go get him. Because they need to get another defensive end on this team, another pass rusher on this team beyond Aiden Hutchinson. Hutch is great. He might be the best in the game. He was doing outstanding this year.
Doesn't he still lead the team in sacks?
Right. I mean, even the play he breaks his leg on, he's making a tackle.
Yeah, he got the sack.
He got the sack and breaks his leg. He's amazing. The amount of pressures that he gets, I mean, it forces, if he doesn't get home on those, fair enough, but he's forcing the quarterback to get rid of the ball before he wants to, which is a win. He's great. They need to find somebody that runs with him. You're not going to find somebody as good as him.
No.
I wouldn't think. But you got to find a running partner for him, because Marcus Davenport didn't cut it. And Za'Darius Smith wasn't getting it done either. Now, Smith has another year left. If the Lions want to hang on to him, he's here for another year. I'd like to see him here working with Aiden Hutchinson. I think that could be nice, but I still want more.
You can never have too many pass rushers. And nope. I don't think Max Crosby was ever available. I don't think Trey Hendrickson was ever available. But, I mean, those are the type of players that people wanted when you say F them picks, let's go for it. Because if something does happen to Hutch again or another pass rusher, you need backup. And the league now, is every team is trying to get bookend pass rushers, not just one. They want two.
or more. You keep adding more to it. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. All right, so the Lions lose Ben Johnson. That's really the big story of today, is that it happened yesterday afternoon. I was at the auto show walking around, and my brother goes, look at this. I'm like, oh, come on.
He didn't say look at a car. He was saying look at his phone.
Yes, he was saying look at the phone. Yeah, although we were looking at cars, but yeah. But I was, come on, don't do this.
No.
Not the Bears.
Like, not the Bears.
We were going to lose them, but not to the Bears. That's the part that stings. It's to the Bears. It's in division. You have to face him twice a year. And I want to wish him well. I want him to do well. But no, now it's not. And now he's the enemy, right? And I hate him being the enemy. But it is what it is. So how do the Lions go about fixing this hole on their team? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1 The Ticket.
You know, I'll tell you, Rico's insulting. All right, 248-539. Hey, hold on. I still owe you one from our pre-show meeting a couple weeks ago. Remember? What was it? The colonizer comment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you made up for it today.
Oh, bull.
You did.
Now, listen.
He handed me his wallet.
Oh, stop it. That is ridiculous. Can we please move on? David, ticket text, and then I want to get to the people. But look, your level of concern, Aaron Glenn's Jets coach, report a few minutes ago, it may be Kelvin Shepard going with him to be the DC. That means you will have lost your OC. You will have lost your D-line coach, your linebacker coach, your DC. And it sounds like you could lose one of your QB or O-line. Guys, your level of concern. Because my concern resides with this. I like Jared Goff more than many of you. But I am not going to get on the air and lie to you. Losing Ben Johnson, my biggest concern in all of this is no one will be able to match what Ben Johnson got out of Goff. What Ben Johnson did for Goff, Sean McVay couldn't do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, any slippage in Goff, I think that takes you out of a Super Bowl picture. Now, can you rebuild it? Could it get better over time? Could the defense somehow, could there be this pendulum swing to the defense now all of a sudden? They carry the, anything is possible. It's sports. But my concern, I'm with Rico. I'm a 3.5 or a 4 out of 5. You are having to rebuild almost your entire staff.
See, I'm at least a solid 4 because it's just going to take a lot. And I know people are going to say, well, they got the culture. The culture is going to get tested this offseason. The culture is going, Dan Campbell is going to have to work magic to get everything back in place to keep this thing going, to find people who can relate to the players, especially Jared Goff and that offense, because if you're Dan Campbell, do you try to get Ben Johnson 2.0 or do you just try to get the best offensive coordinator, which may bring in a different offense? But will Jared Goff like that offense? Like, there's so many different moving parts, and I've seen it happen before. That's why I say you could bring in this great OC and him and Goff just butts heads and it doesn't work.
David, a couple of ticket texts, and I'm going to get right to the people. And yes, we'll have a Goff discussion. Or maybe Rico, maybe yours is the appropriate one, that it's kind of the last stop before we look forward. Your question about Saturday versus last year against the Niners, maybe that's where we go to. I actually don't mind that. My topic sucks. Rock, paper, scissors, 248. All right, David.
Let's ask AI. Wow. Probably a loser take, but I feel like next season is a quote-unquote figure bleep out year. New coordinators, tough schedule, defensive players needing a year to recover, learn new system. At a 3, though, because I can definitely see a path where having a bad year derails everything. That's from Jimmy.
Jimmy, you don't get a year sabbatical in the NFL. You don't get a figure year out. That ship is gone. So if you take this year to figure things out, you're going to get lapped, and a new team's going to take over and be the king of the North. A new team's going to take over and be that team. It won't be you. You got to figure this thing out. You got to make it work. Not just figure it out. It has to work because your window is starting to close. I know you don't want to hear that. You want to think you're going to be a dynasty like the Patriots and a dynasty like the Chiefs. Doesn't work that way in the NFL. Most teams have about a 3-year window.
You're about to hit
year 3.
I'm at a year. I'm at a year. I'm at a 2 out of 5. Ultimately, this team begins and ends with Dan Campbell. The roster has a lot of core pieces and playmakers in place. My concern level is a 0. I would take Aiden Hutchinson over Aaron Glenn any day. Oh,
that makes okay. You know what? It's fine. It's fine. It's not worth getting upset over. They just don't know anything about anything. So cool. You just let them do what they want. I mean, this is why there's a ticket text. Think about it. You're thumbing takes into your phone. I mean, I'm great.
Okay. Not everybody, because some people give us great ticket text. So we're not going to generalize.
Okay.
We're not going to generalize because some people give us great ticket text. You keep up the great ones and you know, show us that you do have a mind out there, people.
Thanks, Dad.
Someone says, I'm at a 5. It's DEFCON level 5 for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Another person says, I heard AI Wojo is actually showing up today. That is from See It in Ann Arbor.
If you could replace someone at this station with AI, it would be Bob. It would just be a collection of sound effects and disgusting mm-hmm. potato chips.
Hey!
Right. I'm done. And throw in a Happy New Year. You wouldn't even know Bob's not here.
Well.
Yeah, go ahead. Say it. Don't worry. I'm not going to judge you.
No, I was just going to ask about the Doughboy. Could he still do the Doughboy bit Mm-mm. with the caller?
No, that's still creepy.
Don't think we ever need to recreate
that. Not even AI.
Let's go to Vaughn 97.1. What's up, Vaughn? How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am calling to ring the alarm. It is a level 5, and I can intelligently articulate why.
Okay.
This year, you humiliated people. Trick plays, we're running up the score, went over 50 a couple times. You did a Pearl Harbor job on the league. And now this is the Godfather Part 3 helicopter scene where everybody's getting murdered and the only person making it out is the Don. So next year, the league, when you look at a map of Southeast Michigan, it's going to say Nagasaki. It is. The league is going to bring the funk next year. And will you have the ability to withstand that over an entire season?
Yeah.
I know you got talent. I know you got grit. And you got the macho man with the headset on. But at some point, you need some leadership on the coaching level. You need somebody that can pull these guys out of a funk when they're in there. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are. No, look, I think you're okay. Bringing up something that only fan bases of a team that has won or has won the ultimate prize understand. The hardest thing to do is not just get good, it's stay good. Yeah. And teams, it's not always linear. I mean, we've seen the Niners take a step back. We saw the Eagles become a train wreck after appearing in a Super Bowl. This is the norm, right? Yeah. Like, hey, remember the Jaguars got good, won a playoff game. Everybody thought, wow, this is their time. Ready? Dead. Like,
but he's got a point here because the Lions, believe it or not, you become that circle game that people remember what you did to them.
Well, you had all your fun with the pitchy woo-woos and we're throwing touchdowns to fat people. Oh, and I get it. But he's not wrong.
No, I didn't think of it like that, but you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, and think back to when they tried to make up for the call. The ref blew the call about the offensive lineman checking in. They spent 2 games running that play.
Well, there's a level of pettiness. I mean, Vaughn, look, what you have said is the truth, which is the Lions don't just want to beat you. They want to embarrass you. They've made that abundantly clear. Now, with Ben Johnson being one of those evil geniuses being gone, and Aaron Glenn, who, look, last I checked, as bad as that defense ended the season, they finished the league 7th in points per game defensively. Okay, you're losing 2 elite coordinators. So now you're right. Does the mindset change? Vaughn, I would tell you, I hope it changes. I'd like to see more of a business-like approach. Sure, it's fun when you hit Dallas with a garbage can. But in the big picture of things, part of what got them in trouble is that idea, we don't just want to win, we want to embarrass you, we want to kill you. Mm-hmm. Look at how they approach the Commander game. It's got to be more businesslike. Because you're right, people are, if they see just a speck of blood, man, the Sharks are swimming. And I do believe, all jokes aside, that I know, Rico, you called it the Big 12. 3 playoff teams came from this division with a record of 40-11. And the team that didn't make it just had the best hire of the cycle, your OC. So, yeah, I'm with Vaughn on that. I'm not going to go to a 5.
Still the Big 12, though.
Okay. Kenny, I tried. You know what? Kenny's judging you. It's not even me.
Kenny's not judging me. It was a lot of empty calories.
All right. But
best division in football.
Okay, what division's better? Come on, be serious.
Well, look, as of right now, it looks like the NFC East.
So what? So the playoff success nullifies that two of the worst teams in football reside in the East? That's all. I mean, every week in this division, you can get popped. You can't say that about the East. The Giants couldn't go to the bathroom in the toilet.
Okay.
Ended up on the floor every day.
But somebody from the East is going to be in the Super Bowl.
I understand. Okay.
They didn't win a game between the Packers and the Vikings and the Lions.
I'm aware.
And you racked up all of these wins.
I lived it. In fact, every day here with you.
Very Big 12-ish.
Okay. Let me know when he's done, David. Be curious.
It's not just me. You know who else said it?
Go ahead.
AI.
Stop it.
What did you just say to me?
February 12th. Pitchers and catchers.
Look, we're all coping in our own ways. 248-539-9797. It was lousy. What happened on Saturday night? It was painful. It was, you can fill in the blank. How does it compare to the NFC title game from the year before? Which one was worse?
I think ultimately I'll land on the NFC title game because you were 30 minutes away. You had a 17-point lead. It felt at that moment like the Super Bowl was inevitable. There wasn't the buildup. There wasn't the, you know, pre-approved plans. And whether it was, hey, you're taking vacation time, you've made some plane reservations, some hotel reservations, you might even got Super Bowl tickets. All of those can be canceled. And you can resell your Super Bowl tickets. You're not going to lose any money on those. In fact, it might be a good investment. You might make a little profit on it. But it's the emotional investment that people made this year that is really going to be hard to get over.
And you didn't get any payoff. They didn't even win a single playoff game. And they lost the game by...
And there are some people right now...
Double points, two touchdowns.
Where this one hurts more because they may not have gone and made the financial investment to go to a playoff game last year. But then this year, hey, number one seed, let's... And we talked about the ticket prices going into last week's game. And I know you put something on Twitter about the NFC Championship game ticket prices, what they were originally going for.
People got mad at me for posting that.
Right, yes. Hindsight, they may have been correct. But like, if you made a financial investment in going to see that game and they lose, then because you just simply wanted to be there in the Super Bowl season.
Yeah, you're out now, a couple grand.
Yeah, you're out a couple grand, which hurts. And there's no more football in Detroit.
And they lost.
Casey Swing.
We're doing off-season radio. And we should be doing NFC title radio and championship previews. And yeah, maybe because it's still fresh, it's Saturday. Maybe because of the emotional buildup, not over the course of a half of football, but half a year, it was Saturday. Both teams had real shots to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
One was closer, and that's the one that will, to me, be more painful. Knowing you're up 17, dominating, on the road, breaking through, and they didn't get it done. This year, maybe some people will point to it and say with the injuries, you know, that last year's team was actually better, last year's team was the better chance to get it done. And this year's team had home field. They won 15 games. I think it's a really tough question to answer. And if you're processing it, you could change your opinion tomorrow, but where are you at today? 248-539-9797. Which of those games, which loss was worse? And we'll get the phone calls in. We've got the Ben Johnson stuff. If you want to weigh in on what it means to lose Ben Johnson, how big a deal is it? And then clearly the fact that he's staying in the division has people feeling a type of way.
A little spite,
yeah.
Just getting back to, you know, which one hurts most. I think I will always settle on the NFC Championship game and losing that one because they literally were 30 minutes away and it was an epic collapse. Not, you know, you got to have some luck to win a championship along the way. And the Lions this year, quite honestly, didn't have a lot of things break their way with the injuries and everything that happened defensively. Last year in the playoffs, it felt like luck was on their side until the ball goes off Vildor's face mask and into the waiting arms of Brandon Ayuk. It's the fumble from Jahmyr Gibbs that had been reliable, even though he's a rookie, had been reliable all season long. Like, there were just some things that you didn't foresee happening in that final 30 minutes, and you started at halftime against San Francisco. Oh, man, this is really going to happen. It's reality. They can't possibly lose a 17-point lead, and then boom, the carpet is pulled right out.
Texter says, to me, the NFC Championship hurt worse. We were a healthy team. This year, I almost knew in the back of my mind we were susceptible to a game like this.
Yeah, I never really changed my expectations this year, even though the injuries kept piling up. They just kept piling up wins. And, you know, looking back, should we... And I just didn't feel like it was going to be what cost them. And it didn't, ultimately. It wasn't the reason that they lost that game against Washington. It was the five turnovers on offense.
Yeah, they with this defense...
They should have still won that game.
Should have. We need to, you know, get into the disco or whatever, but just win the game by 1 point. They were good enough, even with this defense, to win that game at home, and they didn't. So it's just a different level of disappointment and frustration and anger. And back-to-back years where you had a shot to win the Super Bowl and you don't even make the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Michael in Bloomfield. Michael, you're on 97.1. Talk to us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. You know, for me, I agree with John. There's no question. I think the NFC Championship was a worse loss, and it's for all the reasons he said. It's 17 points. It's 30 minutes away. But no doubt this year was heartbreaking, too. I mean, I was at the game. My fiance and I went to every single game this year, and I think the reason is I knew it wasn't going to happen this year, and specifically I knew it when Amik went down. Because we're sitting there, it's the first drive on defense. I mean, down he goes, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Kendall Vildor and Terrion Arnold aren't going to be able to get it done. You know, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown come walking in the Ford Field, they're going to torch those guys. And Amik was kind of our last chance. And so for me, it was like as soon as he went down, I felt like that was the final nail in the coffin that we weren't going to be able to overcome. You look at last year, it's like we got the Chiefs waiting for us. It's a team we had already beaten, and it just felt like we were that much closer last year. So for me, it's the NFC Championship game, but I hold out hope, man. I'm the type that believes we're early in our arc with this team. We got a lot of promise. The roster's loaded. I don't believe losing Ben Johnson is going to be significant. I think really Dan Campbell kind of created Ben Johnson, and it's really his brainchild. That was the offense this year, and he was delivering that through Ben Johnson. So I got a lot of optimism, a lot of hope, and I'm already excited for next year.
Boy, he went through all that and is excited for next year already.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to get through their, you know, call it whatever, sports grief, disappointment. They're going to get there faster than a lot of other people. We will all eventually turn the page and start looking forward to next year and the health of a defense. We don't even know who the offensive coordinator is going to be. We don't know what's going to happen on defense in terms of coaches. I think there is a more likelihood defensively that if Aaron Glenn does go and leaves for the Jets, which we know he's interviewing again there today, that more assistant coaches go from defense then follow Ben Johnson on the offensive side of things.
Look, the Lions will be a contender next year. I just think we got to be fair about losing potentially two coordinators, a degree of continuity. Campbell gushed about the fact that both those guys were back this year and they were able to maybe game plan a little deeper, a little more thorough, build on the concepts to kind of wipe the slate clean from a coordinator standpoint. That's big. The offensive line gets a year older. Brad Holmes, good GM. He's got to do a lot of work because they haven't been good enough yet. So, yes, they'll be in contention. Yes, when next season gets here, I'll be fired up and ready to go and take another crack at this thing. I just know you only get so many opportunities, and it feels like they squandered a big one this week. Over before it started. Lions don't win a single playoff game in a year. We're all dreaming about the Super Bowl. It happened at home in front of all of us. Is it worse than last year's NFC title loss? 248-539-9797. One of the things we're talking about today, the other is Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Bears coach now, head coach. Some of you feel like he's a traitor. Benedict Johnson is the headline in the Free Press. Someone called in and called him a sellout earlier. We've also had people blaming the coordinator interviews for why the Lions lost that game. every one seed ever is going to have their coordinators interviewed. Somehow the other teams find a way to win. I just think it's low-hanging fruit. I don't think it's why they lost the game. Those guys took some Zoom interviews before they were even doing Commanders game prep and didn't do any of that while they were preparing to play the game against Washington. I think people are upset that Ben Johnson took the job so quickly. Seems to already have his defensive coordinator in mind. Guys, he's probably put a lot of thought into this beyond the last week. I mean, he's been in the cycle for 3 years. Yeah. And the fact that he had stayed a couple times and now we're going to go, he doesn't really care about us. What are you guys talking about? This is the business of the NFL.
And who doesn't sit there at one point and daydream, you know, if I was the boss,
here's what I would do.
Yeah, who would I want to employ? Who would I want to work for me? Who would I want to work with? All of those different things cross your mind. Doesn't mean that he was distracted.
I don't buy that. Anyway, you have said that you think the NFC title game hurts more because you were closer to the Super Bowl. It makes complete sense. It's the proximity. The case for this year is it's at home. You didn't get anything that you were promised, this long run to the Super Bowl. You had more time to envision it, dream, and then to watch it all be lit on fire in front of your face. That's pretty hard to overcome, too, in terms of dealing with the failure.
And the investment may be more this year. I mean, in terms of financial investment, just emotional investment. Like, even though reality tells you, as Aiden Hutchinson goes down, Derek Barnes goes down, you keep losing players that the Lions can overcome, because they did. And it just draws you in more. It makes you, and Dan Campbell, all of these guys are very likable. They're very relatable. And you invest so much emotionally, and maybe you even made the financial investment, and now it's just all gone. So I'm not going to sit there and say, if just because I think in the long run, the NFC Championship game is still going to hurt more. It still hurts to this day. This one's going to sting. But in terms of my perspective, it's going to be the NFC Championship game. But I'm not going to sit there and say, if you think that this one hurts more,
You're not wrong. Yeah, I think you might be right that in like 5 years, 10 years, when we lump these two together, we'll say, well, obviously the one where you were on the doorstep of the Super Bowl was worse. But I think there are so many little things that make this one compelling, make this one worse. You are going to lose your coordinators, in addition to the emotional and financial investment, in addition to it being at home, in addition to getting zero payoff. At least last year's team, you could say, hey, I watched them win two playoff games for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't get any of that with this run. I'm left with emptiness.
I think people assume they'd be winning or playing next week, this coming Sunday. That's maybe the value in saying this year, but I do think it's last year. I mean, to me, in some ways, they justifiably kind of crapped the bed on Saturday because of the Robertson injury just kind of snowballing the defense. I don't know. I think sometimes we overrate the one seed. There are numerous examples of one seeds getting blown out in this game. I mean, it happened to Aaron Rodgers against Eli Manning in 2010. It happened to Matt Ryan against Aaron Rodgers 1 year when they were the one seed under Mike Smith. Yeah, and then they got back to the Super Bowl eventually. And then, of course, what happened.
Right. And that's why it was kind of disappointing not to have TJ yesterday. I know he and his family are all sick, but he was in that situation where they were a 15-1 team and ended up losing in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the frustrating part of this was that I just never, I forgot how bad the Buffalo game was, and that's how bad the defense played this game in my mind. It was almost a mirror image. And then I forgot that it's in Jared Goff's DNA that he's going to have a few bad games a year. And I just never thought it would be against such a bad defense. That's the inexcusable part. That for me on Saturday, it happened against their defense. There's nothing that's great about the Washington Commanders defense.
No.
So they shouldn't have failed. They should be able to keep pace. And he had he had the Houston game again.
You're saying Goff?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he's the biggest reason they lost that football game.
His rating in the Houston game was 59.7. His rating on Saturday night was 59.7. You know how hard it is to duplicate exactly your QB rating?
Yeah. Neither good game.
And then they weren't. The turnovers were just, he had 9 turnovers in those two games?
Yes. He had 5 the first time, and he had 4 on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, the people blaming the distraction from Ben Johnson, I think, would be better served and more accurate to say if Jared Goff doesn't turn the ball over four times, they win, even with Amik Robertson going down, even with all the holes on this defense. He can't give him 6 points, and then he can't turn the ball over right before the half, and he can't turn the ball over in the red zone with a fumble. Like, he is the biggest reason. Not the only reason, before everybody jumps down my throat. He's the biggest reason they lost that game.
Well, and it's such a stark contrast to what we saw in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the reason that they lost to San Francisco. In fact, there were a lot of reasons in last year's season where we bought into Jared Goff, and still are. I'm not saying that we're not. But the Tampa game, where you have no running game, and he showed that he can be the reason that you win. And in the playoffs, where he put together drives that were gotta-have-it drives. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't him that fumbled against San Francisco. It wasn't, you know, his face mask that the ball bounced off of. He did put the ball in the hands of the receiver on 4th-and-2. And if that ball is caught, we're talking about another quarterback that at least took his team, two different teams, to Super Bowls.
Last year, he played well enough to win all three of their playoff games. Mm-hmm. This year, he did not play well enough to win this game. Still, the majority of the time, he's looked the part in the playoffs. But that guy's in there, though. That guy that McVay gave up on is still in there. He's not a tier one guy. He's in that next tier that you can win with, but
I don't think there's a lot of people that put him in a tier one category. Correct. There's not many tier one quarterbacks.
Tier one is Mahomes, Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few guys in tier one. Burrow is probably a tier one quarterback, and he hasn't even won a Super Bowl.
Well, and here's the thing is you can have a tier one quarterback and miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that because that obviously happened with Joe Burrow.
Supporting cast matters.
Supporting cast does matter. And he had, offensively, all of the skills in skill positions that you want. I mean, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, like it goes to show you that you do have to, even the good quarterbacks have to have a team built around them. And that's why there's a lot of people that are, some have turned the page and being optimistic for next year, because Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Penei Sewell, that offensive line can remain intact. Now, there's some aging things, and we'll talk about that throughout the offseason. Sam LaPorta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo, like a lot of the key position weapons are still there. Defensively, you're going to get everybody back healthy. And if that defense can go from being a mid-level defense that was banged up to being a top 6 or 7 defense, now all of a sudden, it makes a huge difference.
Calls on Ben Johnson, calls on which loss hurt more, and yes, we'll explore the Goff stuff a little more. No Ben Johnson, is there concern about Goff at all? It's 97.1.
All right, I feel like taking a shot at somebody right now real quick. It's a quick one, but I just saw it, and Kenga just talked about it during the break. So Dove Climate has put out this the chart that shows the four major sports and its team accomplishments in the last 10 seasons. So in the last 10 years, 29 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams have made the playoffs. 31 of the 32 NFL teams have made the playoffs. All 30 teams in the NBA have made the playoffs in the last 10 years, and 31 of the 32 teams in the NHL have made the playoffs. In the last 10 years, 8 Major League Baseball teams have won the World Series, 6 have won the Super Bowl, 7 different teams have won the NBA championship, and 8 different teams in the last 10 years have won the NHL championship, the Stanley Cup. The only teams not to make the playoffs in the last 10 years in any of those sports are the Angels, which is crazy to think that the Angels couldn't make the playoffs with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and all the talent that they've had there. The Buffalo Sabres haven't made it in the NHL. Well, it's a long rebuild that continues to be a long rebuild. The New York Jets are the only NFL team to not make the playoffs. And I love what you had to say after I told you that. In the last 10 years, the Jets are the only NFL team not to make the playoffs. And your beautiful response was...
2 of those years were Aaron Rodgers years.
Any excuse to rip on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, anything.
You'll take it, right?
I'll take it. I'll take it. Aaron Rodgers. I love the Lions ended his career with the Packers on a losing note.
I mean, maybe his career in general.
Basically,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right?
Then the next year he gets that injury, and then this past year was an epic fill.
Yep. Love it. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Anyway, just thought we'd dig that one in there a little bit because it's fun to do that. We do have some text coming in at 248-539-9797. Same number to call us if you'd like to do that. Amik's injury was the last straw that broke Campbell's back. I like that. That's from Bruce in Farmington Hills. I agree with you. I think it was the defense is like, I mentioned earlier, kind of like a Jenga board. You keep pulling pieces out, and it's still there, but it's not as stable. Once you pull the Amik Robertson piece out, it all fell down. It was just too much. I look back now, and I wonder if it was Aaron Glenn's defense or Sam Darnold just choked.
I think you have to think about that because they were so bad versus Washington. You're like, what, is this the same defense that held the Vikings to 9 points? It can't be, right?
Well, except for, I mean, I think it's a combination. First of all, you guys know my feelings on Sam Darnold. I think he's terrible. And I think he had a heck of a season with the team until he can get exposed. And look, they lost to two teams all year long, the Lions and the Rams twice. But in that game, they had Amik Robertson. They put Amik Robertson on Justin Jefferson, and he got the job done. So the next game against Washington, you're putting him on Terry McLaurin, and he gets hurt in the second defensive play of the day for the Lions. I mean, it changes everything. And then you lose Melifonwu, and it changes everything again. So I think it's probably more Aaron Glenn's defense was a success against the Vikings as opposed to Darnold choking. I think Darnold made some bad decisions in that game. He held on the ball way too long, and he gets smoked for it.
So looking back at it now, and this is all, you know, in hindsight, I wanted the Commanders, and be careful what you ask for because obviously they lost to the Commanders. But looking back at it, I actually wish they would have got the Vikings or Rams, and here's why. The one thing people kept saying about not wanting to play the Vikings or Rams again and saying it's hard to beat a team that many times, yeah. Right? The Vikings 3 times this year, the Rams will be 3 times in 12 months, right? But the Commanders, the one thing you do have when you play a team again is familiarity. Yep. You know that team. And by the way, those two quarterbacks aren't that mobile. So you've beaten them for a reason. You know how to play them. Now, when you go with the Commanders, number one, we know how the Lions are with mobile quarterbacks. And I know the whole league has trouble with mobile quarterbacks, but the Lions really have a problem with mobile quarterbacks. And number two is, I don't care what film shows you, when you see it live in person, it could be a lot worse. And I think Jaden Daniels was a lot better than they could have even imagined. Thinking a rookie is going to come in here, and he's not just any rookie. He was so poised. He was so calm. He was so precise. And when you see it on the field in action, you've never seen it before. These players are reacting to the first time playing Jaden Daniels, and I think it hurt this team. It was better if I think they would have played the Vikings or Rams.
Well, I mean, the Vikings were just embarrassed and exposed by the Lions and the Rams in their season. Had they played the Rams, if you're going to tell me Amik Robertson gets hurt on the second defensive play of the game for the Lions, then I'm going to say it's going to be a bad day at the office for the Lions because you still have the same issues. You can't get home on a pass rush. Jaden Daniels' mobility isn't what kept him up on his feet. He had all day to throw. Can you imagine if they gave Stafford all day to throw to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua? You know, they've got more weapons on that team offensively than what Jaden Daniels has to throw to. McLaurin's great, and Brown is turning into a really nice receiver too. But I'll take Nacua and Kupp over those two. And the running back is, you know, you want to say it's a wash or Kyron Williams is better, whatever you want to do. I just think it would have been a disaster if you're going to say that the same injury happens because Stafford would just pick him apart without Amik Robertson out there. But I understand what you're saying. Nonetheless, it worked. It worked out the way it did, and it sucked. Gator Kang, I was at the game. Still don't have a voice from yelling so much. I'm still mad about it, and I'm making it everyone's problem. Injuries got us, Scott and Carlton. That's a big part of it. I blame that lost fumble on Ben Johnson. He pulled a Pete Carroll. Just hand the damn ball off inside the five. Gibbs was going crazy. Mike from Warren. I know a lot of people have said this, but they've done this before where they go empty with a 3rd-and-1 situation, and they've thrown the touchdown pass, and nobody cares because you're scoring. This is what you get. When you have an unpredictable offense, you do plays like this, and hey, you take the good, you take the bad. You take the both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. It worked out more often than not. In that play, it didn't work out because, according to Goff, the receiver stumbled out of the gate. And it causes a chain reaction of bad things to happen. Because there goes the rhythm of the play, which is supposed to be just a quick hit, would have gotten a first down, maybe gets a touchdown. And instead, it's not a quick hit, can't throw to him, got to hang on to it a second longer. And then he gets hit from the backside and fumbles and loses for the first time this season, loses the fumble.
I understand why people are upset about that play. I really do. But you're asking the Lions and Ben Johnson to do something they haven't done all year, which is be predictable and safe. They aren't predictable and safe. The predictable and safe play would have been just run the ball up the middle, yep, get the first down. No, something happened that hasn't happened the entire year. You just mentioned it. Goff lost a fumble at the worst possible time. That was the game changer. That was the beginning of the end, because if they were able to convert that first down and score a touchdown, it's 14-3 Lions, and the defense has an 11-point cushion, and then Washington's playing from behind. And instead, they turned the ball over, and from that point on,
yep,
the offense pressed. The defense couldn't keep up. Washington won the game.
Yeah, not good. Just not good all around. Dominic is in Commerce. Welcome to 97 on the Ticket. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I think the Lions lost as soon as Goff got hit on that interception, that pick six. Goff, after that pick, or after that hit he got, he didn't play the same at all.
Yeah, I wonder, I'd love to know from him, you know, what he was feeling after, because he left the game for a little bit. That's when they brought in Bridgewater for three plays, and then Jameson Williams runs for 61 yards and a touchdown, and, you know, Goff comes in the next series. You got to wonder how it affected him, because that was such a massive hit that he took helmet to helmet. You know, he's not expecting, yeah, to get hit like that, and he just gets lit up. I don't know if he was concussed or not. He said he wasn't. But I kind of agree with you. He didn't look the same after that. But I mean, if you're not, then maybe you let somebody know when you change things up. But the other interceptions he threw after that, it's not good. It's not a good look.
Yeah. I think that flustered him up. He's not used to getting hit at all, really, in a game. And that flustered him up, and that's the reason we lost.
All right, thanks, Dominic. I appreciate it. 248-539-9797. More of your calls as we continue here at 97.1, The Ticket.
All right, TJ's here. He just called himself a total bitch. This is exciting. You were sick. You're a bad, sick person?
Horrible.
You don't deal with it well?
No, horrible.
You just cry out.
Yeah. I'd rather tear my rotator cuff 10 times again before getting sick.
All right, wow. Well.
Yeah, I hate it. Oh, I'm a terrible
sick. Would you rather rewatch Lions Commanders?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
So you have not been on air. You were sick pretty bad Monday, Tuesday. You weren't able to deliver your thoughts. Obviously, you and I were texting. But, like, where do we begin? I mean, you've had time to process it.
Yeah.
How the hell did we get here again?
I was about to say, TJ, when did you know? When did you know?
That game was going sideways?
Yeah. Because I'm sure at halftime you're thinking, okay, it's a 10-point lead. I've seen this before. We had a horrible day against the Texans. We'll bounce back.
Yeah.
I was in full DEFCON 1.
I'm trying to remember if there was an exact moment. You got the feel just when the turnovers, like, wouldn't stop. You're like, my goodness, one of these games. And we remember, I mean, I think I said word for word last Friday with you guys, this team's good enough to play a C-plus game in the regular season and still win. You play a C-plus game in the playoffs, anybody can beat you. And that's what that game was last Saturday. You played offense. I know people are still like, yeah, you scored 31 points and 500 yards. I don't care. My expectation for that offense is so much higher than that defense with all the injuries that they face through. You can't have a turnover that goes for 6 points, first of all. And you can't have – you take the last interception out, I'm fine with that. But you can't have turnovers that take points off the board, too. I mean, I really felt – Mike, I think we talked. That was a 20. Those turnovers were a 27-point swing. When you consider that Washington got 21 points, the touchdowns, plus you also in two of them took field goals off the boards. That's a 27-point swing. You're not beating anybody in the playoffs with giving up that much points. You're just not.
If you take away the last turnover, I'm still going to say it was 5. Because maybe you forced them to either do a dumb play on 4th and 2 and you get a stop, or they kick a field goal. Instead, you had 12 men on the field, and you gave them an automatic first down.
Yeah.
And I'm counting that as a turnover.
And a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes, too, right? Like, Ford Field was supposed to be the place where people come in and they fall apart, and they melt down, and they have the mistakes. We had more false starts than they did. You had a 12 men on the field. I mean, it was like Washington came in with no expectation and just, hey, let's go have fun, see what happens. And to me, the Lions, once it started getting a little closer than they thought it was going to be, started getting tight a little bit. And Jared Goff, he did not play a good game. He just didn't. You look at the pick six. The fumble, I mean, look, Graham Glasgow did get beat on that fumble. But Jared Goff, I hold in a high expectation where if it's third and one and you've got a three-step drop, your offensive line is expecting that ball to come out right now. And I know on that play, it was a one-read play. Hey, we got Amon-Ra on Bobby Wagner, and he comes out and he's stumbling. That, in my mind, if you're Jared Goff, it's got to go off now. Okay, I got to get out of here because they've got five guys. I only got five in protection. The odds of me holding up for 3, 4, 5 seconds on a three-step drop are not great, right? I got to pull my ass down. Amon-Ra fell down. Play's gone. How can I salvage that, right? Get my ass down, try to scramble. Maybe you pick up the first down with your feet. Maybe that's unfair, but that's just the expectation that I hold for Jared Goff.
Right.
And then obviously the interception, the pick six, it was a second and long. I think you were backed up from a false start on first down, I want to say. And you had Sam Laporta wide open underneath. I mean, it would have set you up for a third and five probably. Or Jameson Williams ran the exact same route on the other side of the field and was wide open. And it's just a terrible decision by him. You know, and I think it was once those things started to snowball, they just couldn't pick their way out of it. And it did, you know, they just picked a bad day to have a bad day. You know, that's the bottom line. And I still feel that this loss wasn't as devastating as last year's was. Like, because last year you're 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl with a 17-point lead. You know what I mean? So last year was like 1,000 times more devastating than this year. This year I feel like is just, what did I say? I feel like this year was just. This
I get
year
to
was
watch
just,
mommy and daddy fight feel, now because he disagrees with this.
Oh, I didn't listen. I'm sorry. Maybe you talked about it.
Sick.
I said that I thought that this year's loss was more devastating than last year's loss because last year it wasn't expected. This year, after last year, you dedicated. It was almost like a Rocky montage where you trained and you did everything and you won 15 games and you were the best team in the league. You had home field all throughout. You had a rookie quarterback coming in here and you fell flat on your face. Where last year, yeah, you were 30 minutes away, but that wasn't expected. That was kind of like, man, it would be nice if we get it. A Super Bowl was expected in this city.
For who though? I think if you ask the players last year, you know, do you expect to go and beat San Fran? They tell you, hell yeah.
Look, every player expects to win every game.
Well, maybe that's how I look at it through the player's lens. But like 8 years in the playoffs when I played, and I hate to be that guy, but there's one loss that I ever had that was devastating that I still think about to this day. And it was 2014, went on the road, NFC Championship game, Seattle, had a 16-point lead.
I was about to say, was it the onside kick guy?
And we blew it, yeah. And we blew a 16-point lead in the second half. And that's the one game that haunts me because you are that close to getting to a Super Bowl. You are that close. No matter if you're meant to be there or not, you're that close. Oh, and all we have to pretty much do is not F it up ourselves, right? That was by far the most devastating loss I've ever had in my playoff career. And that was even the one seed, you know, the 1 year, Mike, we were 15-1. The Giants came in and beat our ass. But from a player's standpoint, it's a stark reminder of when we don't bring our A game in the playoffs, anybody can beat us. So that's why I say last year was more devastating because you're 30 minutes away. It didn't matter if people were like, hey, this is just bonus football. Nobody expect us to be. The players expect to be there. And when you really have a legit chance to get it done, and you look up the scoreboard like, hey, we 17 points, 30 minutes left. Like, let's roll. And then I mean, when it starts slipping away, like, man, it's you can't help but to think about that.
If the Commanders are all of a sudden 15 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl and they end up losing, you didn't expect that at the beginning of the year. Now, I'm sure, yes, the players, you want to say we want to win the Super Bowl, but no one really thought if you talked about
you're that close, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what you talked about all season or, hey, let's just win the division. Oh, man, we won a couple playoff games. Whoa. You don't think about that. You think about the moment and how close you are, right? So, I just...
There's no right or wrong answer. I think we were all pissed off.
Yeah, no, I'm with you because the expectations were so high. And for so much of the season, you did look like the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, all
right?
Roads go through Detroit. Yeah.
Now, would I feel different if you had a 17-point lead against Washington and you just let it crumble? Or if there was a
a weird call in there or something that cost you that game. Like, hell yeah, it would feel different. That was a game to me that just, you didn't take care of your business.
See,
you just
didn't.
Washington
call,
did.
No, I see. I think if like you would have had one of those Cowboys, Dan Skipper calls, you would have had the refs to blame. And you got nobody to blame in this
you
game.
You got yourself to blame, right? Yeah. I mean, you got yourself to blame. And maybe we didn't expect it to turn into a dogfight, which it kind of was majority of that game until Washington just you couldn't get close enough there in the second half to really feel like you were getting back. Yeah, that was kind of the dagger. But earlier this week just felt like, man, it was a gut punch. Like, it really was. And we were all expecting Ben Johnson to leave, right? But I think we were expecting that in February, right? Yeah. And but here's another thing I would say, too. And I'm not blaming this. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely, this is not even a majority of the factor why they lost. I think it's ridiculous that, Mike, we talked about it, that coaches interview during the postseason for other jobs. You have bad teams that are trying to pick off the good coaches. Now, was that a major distraction? No. Was it a distraction, though? You can't help it to be a distraction. See, but, and especially, but I know it happened during the bye week. Well, you're telling me that can't be in the back of your mind of, oh, man, like, this is the guy that's really brought my game to a new level. Like, I'm not saying it's a massive distraction by any means, but if you're thinking about it, if you're spending an hour thinking about it, is that distracting you from, and I know it happened during the bye week, but even a couple days before the game,
right?
It's Tom Brady, Vegas Raiders, right? Ben Johnson. Oh, this. Does that take your mind off of things? It's for a split second, Rico, you can say, yeah, I'm thinking about that. I wish I didn't have to think about that. Flip the seat. Let's say you're in the playoffs and there's talks about players. Hey, Jared Goff, there's a chance he might go join the Bears next year. You know what I mean? How is that? And I know coaches, obviously, I'm not trying to compare the two, but you know what I mean? Like, you can't help but to think about it. I think it's ridiculous that they just don't wait until everybody's season's over. And Bill Belichick said the same thing. He's like, man, like every year we're making a postseason run and you got all these bad teams that are trying to poach coaches from good teams. And like, yeah, you can't help to think about it. Right. I'm not saying that is the main factor.
Belichick got his revenge because all his coaches sucked.
So. And I'm not trying to blame that. I'm not trying to cop out by saying that, but players would be lying to you if they told you that it didn't cross my mind or I didn't think about it or I didn't say, hey man, this coach has meant a lot to me throughout my career. Gosh, I really hope he doesn't go. You know what I mean? Like, I can't afford to lose him, man. He's made a difference in my professional career. You can't help but to think about that. And if it takes your mind off of things for an hour, if you're spending 2 hours thinking about that, can you argue that that's not somewhat of a distraction? No. Not saying a massive one, but, you know, you're thinking about all those things. And look, that's the nature of being a good team, right? The Lions back here next year. Doesn't matter who they hire as the coordinators. They go out and win 15 games again next year. They're a Super Bowl favorite. They're going to go through it again. Right. I just think this was the initial time of – and we did hear some of it last year, right? And Ben Johnson kind of turned those things down. I feel like it wasn't as solidified last year where this year was like Ben Johnson's 100% going to be a head coach. Last year was like, oh, he's getting some interest, you know. This is the first time they had really had to deal with that, though. Like, we are losing our coordinators. It is like a guaranteed thing, right? These guys aren't coming back. They're taking bigger, better opportunities, which they should, which they've deserved. Right. But this is the first time they've gone through that. I think it'll help them in the future be able to handle that, because if you're going to be a sustainable good team, powerhouse team, you're going to have to get used to things like that happening that are out of your control, unfortunately, but part of the game. So, and I wish the NFL did it different. I wish they just waited till after the Super Bowl, but before teams could start making all these major changes.
So let's do this. People, you haven't had a chance to talk to TJ this week. If you have something you would like to vent to TJ about or ask about, and we can put to bed the Commander game, just call 248-539-9797. I know Rico and I have two more questions for you. One is going to be, I do want to ask you about Dan Campbell, and then I do want to have this conversation about Ben Johnson not being here and the effect on Goff, because they had a very tight relationship. So we'll get to that momentarily. I want to keep it somewhat on the rails. I know we're over time. We'll be right back with that